Hi, this is Dave Moore, inviting you to listen to a brand new local radio station, Kix Country 107.5. I do the morning show every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m.
And you can listen to Pueblo's podcast episodes every Sunday morning at 7:30.
Check it out, Kix Country 107.5.
This episode of Pueblo's podcast is presented by...
For 100 years, Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors has had a reputation for excellence. Their focus has always been thoughtful, caring, professional, personalized service to families. Moving into the next century, Gary and Diane Montgomery pledge their commitment and long tradition of providing care and compassion for the community they have always called home. Continuing to set the bar high, they promise to go above and beyond for each family they serve, not because it's business, but because it's their way of life. They invite you to call or visit today, Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors, at 14th and Main in downtown Pueblo, 719-542-1552, Montgomery & Stewart Funeral Directors. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Pueblo's Podcast. My guest today is Jeff Shaw, President and CEO of PEDCO, Pueblo Economic Development Corporation. Jeff, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
Absolutely. First of all, tell people, because we have not just a Pueblo and Colorado audience, but a lot of people nationwide and internationally, tell everyone what PEDCO is.
Sure. So I try not to go too far deep into the weeds. So we're the economic development organization for Pueblo County.
Okay.
We started, PEDCO stood up in 1981. We're a product of the steel industry crash back in the late 70s, early 80s, where, you know, a steel industry crash nationwide. And unfortunately, our unemployment went through the roof. And so our founding fathers decided there's got to be a better way to do economic development. And so it was a bunch of private businessmen and women that put their money where their mouth is and got together in 1981 and said, we're going to see how we can help primary jobs in Pueblo, Colorado, and bring new companies to Pueblo. So we are, our mission in life hasn't changed. We still work on primary job related projects. Primary job meaning a company that manufactures a product or provides a service, and 51% of it is exported out of the community. So it's bringing the new money into the Pueblo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. And so 40 years ago, mm-hmm. a group of guys decided, because I think the unemployment rate was, what, around 24%, something mm-hmm. like that? Wow.
And yeah, so 41 now. 41 years now. So we celebrated our 40th last year.
Yeah, okay. 41 years. That's amazing. And so it started out with the gentlemen coming together and figuring out that you needed to do something to attract new businesses.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a new model back then. So now it's a very typical model, but we're a private nonprofit. We're not affiliated with the government. So back before 1981, economic development was handled inside either the city or the county. Mm-hmm. And this isn't designed to criticize anybody inside the government, but what they realized in 1980, 1979, 80, 81 is that businesses like talking to businesses. And so the business owners got together and put their money where their mouth is and funded it. So it took it out of necessarily the government's role. So today we still find that businesses still like to talk to other businesses to see whether or not this is a good location for Pueblo. So.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense because they know what the landscape of the city is like. And so they feel like they're probably more well-informed.
Yeah, correct.
All right. What was the first company that was part of the PEDCO situation?
Yeah, so the first big project, kind of the big visible project, was Sperry Corporation.
Okay.
So Sperry, who's no longer here, Sperry then was Unisys. It was part of the semiconductor, kind of the type of industry. They had one large building, now then two buildings out the Airport Industrial Park. So if people go out to the Airport Industrial Park, they want to see where Sperry, and then it was Unisys, and then it was mm-hmm. McDonnell Douglas. It is now where we call it DOS Aviation, which is now CAE, where they do the initial flight training. So where the DOS Aviation CAE initial flight training center is, that was the original location for the Sperry building. And then right next door was the second Sperry. Or the second, we call it Sperry 2, but okay. All those buildings, those two buildings have been repurposed into other uses.
Okay. And how does that work? How do the folks at Petco reach out to businesses or corporations, you know, say in Tennessee or Nevada or somewhere? Yeah. How does that work?
So today's world, it's a little bit different than it was in the beginning.
Sure.
We still like the way it was done in the beginning. I wish we could still do it that way. But we still believe in getting on planes and face-to-face conversations and finding out some kind of a lead. A lot of our projects are by referrals, our contact list that people know of a company looking to expand or relocate somewhere in this area. Our mission in life is attraction, which is bringing them in, retention, keeping them here, and expanding them. So our expansion is the biggest opportunities. But a lot of it is our relationships we have with large site selectors, which is a group that's in charge of companies will hire site selectors to find locations for manufacturing facilities in the U.S. A lot of those are direct marketing that we actually market to a number of core clusters that we chase. So we go outside and talk to them. A lot of them are trips that we take, you know, face-to-face conversations. In today's world, with the internet world and data, right. A lot of site selection is done on the very beginning using just hard data. So they're looking at what a community looks like from what their workforce looks like, what the availability of housing looks like, what the availability of facilities, cost of living, cost of manufacture, utility packages. And eventually, you know, they'll pull crime data, they'll pull education attainment. So it's a very competitive world. When we stood up in 1981, I think we were the first, we're the only one in Colorado like this, this model. Now there's these type of models everywhere around the country.
Sure. So you were kind of the catalyst in a way for a lot of cities to say, hey, look, it worked for Pueblo, Colorado. And of course, they probably found out about it through different news reports, including Paul Harvey and some other television networks.
Yeah, Paul Harvey was a good friend of Pueblo. And so he talked about Pueblo a lot on his radio show.
He
and
did.
So there's a monument to him out at the Airport Industrial Park. And you talk to people in the community and they still remember Paul Harvey coming out here. And so we still try to use his marketing stuff. Unfortunately, our younger generation, they don't know who Paul Harvey is
anymore. That's true.
So it's our opportunity to educate them as well.
Exactly. And he was actually on the radio station I worked for at the time, in the 80s. Yep, sure was. And so what companies do we have now in Pueblo that Petco has recruited and expanded?
Sure. So a lot of the companies, majority of the companies we brought in are still here. So last count, I think somewhere around 75% at least are still here from we brought in.
Oh, so very good.
Out at the Airport Industrial Park, there's a number of companies that are still here that we brought in. If you come in from the west side of the park and as you go east, people can drive by it and they'll see CMC Electronic Chemicals, which makes chemicals for the for the semiconductor industry. They'll bypass, they'll keep going down to Trane Corporation, which was an early success, mm-hmm. and they've still been here a long time.
I remember that.
Commercial water chillers. Then you, on the other side of the street of Trane, you're going to find, now it's Collins Aerospace, used to be the Goodrich plant. Mm-hmm. As we say to people in Pueblo and even anybody coming into Pueblo, if you landed on a plane, be happy that Collins Aerospace exists because they make the carbon brakes. So that reason that plane stopped is because those brakes were made in Pueblo, Colorado. You keep other examples of product of companies inside the Airport Industrial Park would be, the company's now called Gulf Co., but it was Atlas Pacific. Atlas Pacific or now Gulf Co., they manufacture equipment for the food processing. So what they say is, you know, you take a carrot and you peel it into a baby carrot, and they make the actual manufacturing equipment and processing equipment. They've been here, you know, for 20 some odd years for quite a long time.
Yeah.
You have United Launch Alliance, who's doing the propulsion design for the next generation of rockets. Big R, which is most people in this area is familiar with Big R, the stores, their mm-hmm. distribution facilities out there. TR Toppers, which is one of my favorite companies I talk about. They crush candy for a living, right? So if you go to Dairy Queen or Baskin Robbins or Sonic and you get your ice cream sundae and you ask for the crushed chocolate, most likely that product was crushed in Pueblo, Colorado.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really a neat project. Target Distribution Warehouse out at the far east side of the Airport Industrial Park.
Wow.
Russ Davis, who is in the food processing. So they take it to a large chop facility where they make, provide. I see if you go to the grocery store and you buy yogurt and it's got chopped fruit with it, you know, that most likely it's branded as Crazy Fresh. So that gives you an example of some of them in the airport industrial park. If you go south, there are industrial parks. You go into what we call the Minocqua Industrial Park, which is just south of Poa Boulevard. Examples of companies down there that we've worked with, a local company, which is Grady's Restaurant Hotel Supply, helped them expand their operations. Pewag Traction Chain makes snow chains. It's a company that per Pewag has been in business since before Christopher Columbus came over here.
Wow.
The claim to fame is what I was told is that Christopher Columbus was wearing chainmail manufactured by Pewag back then. It's the first, it's an Austrian company that has located, that located its first manufacturing facility in Colorado, or actually the United States. Obviously, I bypassed the largest employer, which is Evraz. We're a steel town. We have been a steel town. We take pride in being a steel town.
Sure.
And we're going to stay a steel town as long as we possibly can. And then as far as you go further south, you have, you know, the large project, which was the Vestas Wind Tower facility. Now it's CS Wind. And on the backside of that, you have a company, which is a Vossla, which makes concrete road ties. So that gives you an example of the of at least in the industrial parks. And then in the downtown area, the largest one necessarily, at least at, over by the Riverwalk, which kind of spearheaded some of the development of the Riverwalk, which the world headquarters for the professional bull riders.
Right.
Yeah. And then I bypassed, I think I mentioned it on the Sperry conversation, but DOS Aviation, which is CAE, does all the initial flight training for the Air Force. So, if they're going to fly in the Air Force, you got to go through Pueblo first. And last I heard, and I can't swear to this stat, but it's certainly, you know, 70 to 80% of all pilots flying in the Air Force came through Pueblo first.
No kidding.
So you see, they get to see Pueblo. They get to see us in all our glory in this amazing community we live in.
And boy, what a wide variety of. Yeah. Companies and manufacturers.
Yeah, what they did, what I say our founding fathers did a really good job when the steel industry crashed, you know, our unemployment, as you mentioned, Dave, went to 23%, 24%, 25%. We realized that we couldn't have all our eggs in that proverbial one basket. So
sure.
If one industry crashes or has trouble, we don't run into big issues. So we've diversified our manufacturing. And an example I tell people is, you know, you have somebody like now CS Wind who makes large wind towers for the renewable energy, located somewhere close to Evraz, which obviously makes some product for long rails or bars, rod and bars, or for seamless tubes. So they're in the oil and gas business as well. When the oil and gas industry dips, the renewables are still going strong, and vice versa. If the renewables dip, you've got the oil and gas industry. So we don't have one industry crashing that's bringing down the whole community.
Right.
We're very well balanced.
Yeah, very. Lots of diversity there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And are there current areas of focus that Pedco is looking at right now?
Yeah, so we do. One thing we're really strong in the public community is rail. You know, anything rail and all things rail.
Right.
So Evraz, who's in the middle of an expansion of a long rail mill, the first of its kind in probably 100 years in the United States. We also have tremendous rail parks available. So companies either manufacture a product or service related to rail that needs rail for distribution or raw materials. So we have 350 acres out at the St. Charles Industrial Park, which is just on the other side of CS Wind, which is a heavy rail park. So we're doing a lot of marketing to those companies that need rail. We have to respond to the challenges in the world,
sure.
Especially the United States. And so workforce is a challenge. Supply chain's a challenge. With that goes kind of the long haul drivers as well. So rail transportation and rail networks are important, especially as those kind of companies get squeezed out of the big markets like Denver and some of them that aren't as excited about rail. We try to capture those. We chase a number of core clusters right now. So we're real interested and engaged in those companies that are involved in either food and beverage manufacturing, chemical manufacturing, aerospace and defense, outdoor recreation industry. Those are companies that manufacture a product or a service that's for the outdoor recreation industry, not necessarily the tourism side, but You know, if you make a paddleboard or a snowboard or, you know, something related to the tent or fabric, we've been working in the and trying to navigate our world through the hemp industries. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, surfaced when Colorado decided to legalize cannabis as a whole. We took a hands-off approach to marijuana, but hemp is a different product. So there's value-added products in the hemp industry that we've been looking at. What we try to do is match our projects with those companies that are in a growth industry. The companies are doing well, that may not have much as much risk with automation necessarily, but also have the packages we need. So we have tremendous transportation assets in Pueblo. You have Highway 50 and I-25, so you can go northwest, north, south, east, and west. You have rail networks that's dual served by both UP and BNSF that go north, south, east, and west. Mm-hmm. We've got very competitive utility packages. What we're heavily involved with right now is that Pueblo is like a, you know, it's the oasis in the water desert of Colorado.
Right.
We have, I would say, and I would argue against anybody, that we have probably the best water utility in the United States, that they've done such a great job planning for our water needs, that we have the ability to go after large water projects where the rest of the state doesn't have the ability. So that sets up those operations like the food and beverage manufacturing that would be fairly water intensive, chemical manufacturing. And we also try to match it up to our workforce, what kind of workforce we have now and what kind of workforce we're having in the future. The biggest example of this right now is the right now they're finishing up the destruction of the mustard agent out at the Army depot, and eventually that means about, you know, somewhere upwards of 1,000 employees are going to come back to the community or come back off that project. They're going to be available for other companies here or companies that we can locate into Pueblo. So today's world in economic development, there's really two driving factors. One is availability of square footage. If you have square footage, there's a conversation, because right now there's not a lot of availability of square footage on the Front Range. And if you want to stand up a building, it's very, very expensive, because the cost of construction is expensive right now and the supply chain's challenging. Or workforce. Workforce, about 5 or 6 years ago, we started getting a lot more involved in the workforce conversations because we saw what we call the skills cliff is going to happen, which is the baby boomers retiring. Rightfully so. They've carried us for a long time.
Sure.
But with that, there's a tremendous gap that was going to happen with skilled manufacturing, skilled trades. And so COVID amplified it to some degree. With what they call it, the mass retirement. And so workforce, we spent a lot of time on working with our partners in workforce training, reskilling, whether it's Pueblo Community College, Colorado State University, Pueblo, working with workforce, the school districts, getting those kids excited or workers retrained that can go into those type of occupations, working in a manufacturing environment. And you're working in a manufacturing environment, it's not the old days of manufacturing, which is processing, you know, kind of an assembly line type operation. They're highly paid, right. Well compensated, great benefits. So we do a lot of work on the workforce side as well.
Okay. And that not only lends itself to hiring local people, but bringing people from outside of Pueblo and mm-hmm. Southern Colorado into the area.
Yeah, trying to grow the community.
Sure.
More important, you know, first step is to take care of those that are here and make sure they have a job or the opportunity to retrain or reskill, and then also then bringing additional ones in. What we try to be very mindful of is that we don't want to bring a project in that's going to hurt an existing manufacturer. So we'll look at it when we look at a company, we want to make sure they're not substantially competing on a product side with the company, but also we look at it from workforce. The example I tell people is, you know, we're not going to bring in a company, that needs 500 welders. I don't think they'd find 500 welders necessarily
right.
out there, but even if it did, it could hurt other companies. So we've got to be careful how we do that. We try to balance it. We know there's competition for workforce out there, but it's a lot easier to keep a company here, to expand a company here, than it is to bring a company in.
Sure.
So you don't hear a lot about what we're doing necessarily because, one, we market externally. We don't do a lot of marketing inside Pueblo, but at the same time, we work closely with the manufacturers to monitor their health, make sure they're doing well, see what their needs are going to be, and then eventually try to expand them.
Okay.
That's the non-sexy part of our job.
Right. Are there particular areas of the country that seem to be more interested in the Pueblo area?
you're seeing a lot more regional manufacturing. So you're seeing those companies that really, they'll look at it from depending on the cluster itself, that are suppliers to other large manufacturers like the aerospace and defense world. Those companies that manufacture products or supplies the original, the OEMs of the world. So you'll find those that have a geographic transportation or distribution component to it. So like in the food and beverage manufacturing, we got more excitement out of that coming out of COVID because we ran into there was such a big issue on food and food availability and, right. and food scarcity. So you're seeing a lot more companies look at it from a geographic perspective. So a company that, you know, just manufactures a product that manufactures it on the East Coast, but they really don't have a need to put in a regional manufacturer, we probably wouldn't be successful. But for those companies that have a market, you know, anywhere within 24 hours of Pueblo, you know, 12 to 24 hours, you know, that brings in those opportunities to for those companies that are going to serve the likes of the Phoenixes and the Dallases and obviously Denver, Salt Lake City, really Kansas City, kind of that, you draw that circle, mm-hmm. And those more regional manufacturing is what we're seeing now.
Okay. And with Pueblo's weather, the climate here, and the cost of living, that's got to be a couple of major attractions.
Very much so. The weather's the one we like to talk about.
Right.
That's not necessarily the one that always sways them, but that's the one that keeps them here. It's always nice when you're talking to somebody from the East Coast or the upper Midwest during the wintertime because they come out here and it's sunny outside and we say, you know, welcome to our 300 days of sunshine. And they say, no, we appreciate that because we may have your other 65 days of sunshine while we're coming. So they like it.
Sure.
What we're also finding is, at least at those privately owned manufacturers, is that really could go anywhere they want. They look at that quality of life issue. And so we sometimes forget in Pueblo what we have and what makes us special. I mean, during the winter, you can play golf on Saturday and ski on Sunday.
Sure.
And I say not only ski on Sunday, it only takes 2 hours to get to a ski area, whereas I hope my friends in Denver don't get upset with me when saying that. Sometimes getting to a ski area from Denver takes 3.5 or 4 hours or 4.5 hours. You have some of the best, if not the best, mountain biking in the winter in around Lake Pueblo. You have great fly fishing. You have a river coming through it. You've got tremendous rock climbing opportunities. So those that like an outdoor lifestyle, but they still have a company that they manufacture or provide a service, it just sets up perfect. So there's a quality of life issue that was prevalent in the conversations before COVID, but COVID amplified it. Those ones that said, wait a minute, I don't want to be, you know, in this big market any world. I need to be out where I've got a quality of life, where I've got some good schools, where I've got some good outdoor recreation, where I have everything that I need. Cost of manufacturing obviously is very important, but quality of life is bigger and bigger. Every year, it seems to be a higher topic of conversations for those companies or those site selectors looking to locate.
Sure. That's understandable. And without giving anything away, I'm sure that Pedco has a few things in the hopper that are on the horizon.
You know, we came out of COVID and 2022 is a very busy year for prospects. Unfortunately, we're just judged sometimes when we get them across the finish line. The hardest part about what we do is what we say, the last percentage, the last 1%. We can get them all the way there, and then getting the company across the finish line is sometimes the hardest thing. There's certain things that we can control and can't control. Last year, we ran into some, coming into the summer, kind of midsummer, I want to say, at end of second quarter, into the third quarter, started running into some headwinds. So we were sitting on working with large capital projects. Because workforce is a challenge, we're more weighted on large capital projects and kind of less on the employment side. But you started running into supply chain issues, major supply chain issues. Inflation started becoming a large concern for manufacturers. So sometime around June, July, things started slowing down. Not projects that went away. They just said, we're going to put them on hold until we can navigate this inflation world and supply chain. Then obviously the Feds raised the interest rate, and so it made the money more expensive.
Right.
And so we know there's a number of companies that we're still working with that would be an incredible economic boon to this community, but probably not going to really surface more until the inflation gets a little bit under control, better under control, and the cost of money gets a little bit more reasonable, and supply chain gets solved. So we're expecting somewhere around second quarter of this year for things to hopefully get across some finish lines.
Oh,
but we have some big projects.
All right. In your mind, what is does Pueblo's future look like as far as economic development and growth?
I think it looks strong. It looks exciting. One of my realtor friends pointed it out in a very interesting way. He said last year, and I still believe it. He said, finally, we're seeing the growth in Pueblo we've been talking about for 40 years. It's happening.
Right.
And there's reasons why it's happening. On the residential side, we still need, I think the last housing study that the city did showed we need somewhere around 9,000 houses. And so we still have to stand up a lot of houses. But a couple things are working in our favor. One of the things that works in our favor is it's just so expensive for housing up north. So as Caro Springs and Denver and Northern Colorado continue to stay expensive, people are looking for, you know, that quality of life and that housing that, you know, is more affordable. And so it's kind of back to the old days of Petco. What we used to do in the 80s is we'd go to California and put a billboard up in California and say, tire of the traffic, sell your 1,000 square foot house for 600,000 or whatever it is, and buy a mansion in Pueblo. And so you're seeing that more and more. You're seeing that quality of life. You're seeing a lot more projects that are now looking directly at Pueblo that are skipping those bigger markets. Just because probably what's going to drive it more is going to be the workforce that we have available, especially the workforce coming out of the chemical project, is going to make it exciting. So I think it's an exciting time for Pueblo. You're seeing a lot of projects that we're not necessarily involved in per se, but you're seeing an effort on the downtown. You're seeing growth. You know, the new schools is going to be exciting for the community. Hopefully that helps.
Sure.
With the growth as well. You're going to see growth on the north side of Pueblo. You're going to see growth on the east side. Obviously, we're growing. Our industrial complex is growing to the south, so hopefully that brings in more residential growth down there. So I think Pueblo has everything. We have a lot going for it, and I think the best way I can say it is, you know, we have a lot of friends in economic development that work in, you know, outside of Pueblo, so our friends up north and run similar organizations. And they'd make comments to us at various meetings that would say it's amazing what they're hearing up north about the next growth in Colorado is that Highway 50 corridor, Pueblo, Colorado Springs, Pueblo West. I mean, kind of around that southern Colorado. So we're it's exciting time to be in Pueblo.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Pueblo's podcast has not only Pueblo and Colorado listeners, but listeners across the country and international as well. And make a pitch to some of those people who might be listening to the podcast.
Like the best thing, I mean, one of the things that separates us, which is kind of nice, and you know, in today's world, most conversations are led with location and workforce. And we spend a lot of time on that. Certainly, an important part of the conversation are incentive packages that we can put together. Our community has been very, very generous with incentives, meaning that since 1985-ish, they've been taxing themselves what we call our house and sales tax fund to go into capital development. It's the only type of this type of fund in the state of Colorado. The state has their fund, but we have a fund that surpasses any other fund in Colorado. And so what allows us to do is help a company come in with capital needs. So we can relocate a company and provide substantial dollars for grant dollars for capital purposes, capital being building, land, rent, or equipment to help them locate. This fund allows us to compete on a grant, on a large scale. So when we say that, you know, the heavy hitter in economic development for incentives has always been someone like the state of Texas. So if we have to go up against the state of Texas on an incentive dollars, we can be very aggressive with our cash incentives.
Oh, great.
Workforce is what separates us. What we try to tell people is if you don't know what our workforce looks like, call us. We'll put you in contact with a manufacturer that has a similar workforce, and you'll hear from them that's what makes it separate, that's what separates us. It's the reason, one of the reasons the Vestas located in Pueblo for the wind towers is because of our history of making steel. We still like steel projects. We still like big projects like that. But you have somebody like Pueblo Community College has the best customized training programs. We've been reskilling and retraining people since it was the trendy thing to do. Obviously, we had to take, you know, 2,000 steel workers and put them into different industries.
Sure.
For the listeners internationally, we've created quite a niche for international manufacturing. So for the most part, on the southern manufacturing, I gave you an example of a few of them, but we have manufacturers from England, from obviously Russia is England, but it's got some Russian ownership attached to it as well. You have a company from Canada making pipe. You have railroad related products from companies out of Germany, Austria. CS Wind is South Korean. At the Airport Industrial Park, you have English manufacturers. So we have a real flair for international manufacturing. And part of that, I think, also successful in the workforce. You know, we've been, because of Pueblo's age, you know, we have such a diverse ethnic background. Right. And I think it makes us special and makes us unique, that we're not trying to chase it. It's just who we are. And so I think we talked to a lot of companies about that. They really enjoy that. They understand that that's a great mix of different, ethnicities working inside manufacturing or services. And so that separates us as well. I can tell people that are listening, no one's going to outcompete us. So, you know, we're going to get you here and we're going to keep you here and we're going to stay with you as long as we possibly can, because we don't just bring you here. We've got part of my team then goes out and meets with the manufacturers on a quarterly basis or monthly or whatever they want. And if there's workforce concerns, then we get you the right people and work on workforce. If there's supply chain issues, we try to connect you with different supply chain channels. And so we're going to try to work with you from the start to finish. So.
Sounds like Pueblo and Pedco both have a bright future ahead.
Very bright, yeah.
Now I'm going to ask just a little bit. Tell me a little bit about you and your history in Pueblo and
sure.
and how you became the CEO and president of Pedco.
Well, as people find, Pueblo has a lot of those generational people, and I'm one of these generational people. So I'm a fourth generation Puebloan. My mom's side of the family was here. I'm not sure I should say this publicly, but I've been here for four generations on my mom's side. But I'm one of the few people I know that really never had any family that ever worked in the steel mill.
Oh,
My family was railroaders. So
okay.
The railroad brought my parents, my great-great-grandparents to town. And so my family worked in the railroad industry for a long time, and they're all teachers. My dad is from Springfield, Massachusetts. And so the Korean War brought him to Colorado for Camp Carson, and he just loved Colorado.
Sure.
And stayed in Colorado. My involvement with Pedco goes back to, I say, to 1981, and it'll sound strange when I say that. I was only 11 years old at the time. I obviously didn't know it, but my dad was part of the original group that incorporated Pedco.
Right.
So he was involved with it from the beginning. When I came back to town, I'm a lawyer by training, but when I came back to town in 1997, he said, "You're going to come back to town, you're going to get involved with Pedco." Because this community wouldn't be what it is without Pedco, if Pedco didn't exist. I served on the board of directors from 2001 to 2010, then ran a defense project we were working on for a while. And then, as I say, I opened my big mouth and said, "We need to do this way." And they said, "Okay, go ahead and run with it." And so I've been on the staff of Pedco for a number of years, have a great team, but as they say, it's a family affair. We've been involved with it, and I've got family friends that and we're involved with Pedco. Unfortunately, but there was it was at a funeral on Saturday for one of our family friends, and ran into one of the original guys from one of the original board of directors from Pedco, and got a chance to talk to his name is Paul Clark, and was here for a number of years, and he was one of the original one of the board of directors. So there's still three or four of the original guys that are still out there. But my history goes back in Pedco. So when I take this role on, and when I don't have any excuses because I've got the generational knowledge. I was born and raised, and I've got my kids are now fifth generation Puebloans. They're being raised and educated in Pueblo County. So,
that's great.
It's for whatever it is, we like to come here and stay here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I really encourage people to go to it's pedco.org, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And there's a video on there. It's a 40 anniversary celebration video. I really encourage people to click on that and watch that video, because you'll see some of the original Pedco founders and some of the founding fathers of Pueblo and people behind the economic development here.
Yeah, it's a great video produced locally. Media Center did it for us, and it did a great job with this. But you'll see, it gives you really a good idea of the excitement that was generated and how novel this approach was in 1981. But when you see some of the Paul Harveys of the world talking about what an amazing community and what we do, and we're just going to survive and we're going to grow, and that's who we are as Puebloans.
Yep, Absolutely.
But if anybody has questions also, I always, you know, go to our website, reach out to us. My cell phone, call me, 719-252-0935. I'll take phone calls any time of the day and night, answer questions about Pueblo. We'd be excited to have anybody not only live here, move here, and bring their company here.
Absolutely. Terrific. Got a couple of fun questions here for you.
Okay.
Some this or that's if you're ready.
Sure.
Dog or cat?
Dog. Had to say that. My kids would kill me if I said.
Right. Mountains or beach?
Beach. Unfortunately, I live in the mountains, but I live in the mountains area, but beach.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
40 degrees or 90 degrees?
90 or hotter.
Really? All right. And what comes on your perfect pizza?
I would say pepperoni, Sicilian sausage, and Pueblo green chilies.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Great questions.
Thank you. Jeff Shaw, President and CEO of PEDCO, Pueblo Economic Development Corporation. Thanks so much for being part of Pueblo's podcast. It's great to learn about PEDCO and the history and what your goals are and what's going on now.
Oh, thank you for having us. I'm excited about your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. That's Pueblo's podcast. I'm Dave Moore. Be proud, Pueblo.